be a whole lot of reason, but today is Mother's Day, and we honor our mothers, not just on this day, but we honor them every single day. And not, we don't pick out a day to just honor mama, tell mama we love her. Mama, you want me to take out trash? Mom, what you want me to do? What you need me to do? But some people just hold fast to that one day. I'm giving her her flowers this day, and that's it. They don't see their sons and daughters no more. You know, and that's so sad. So we're going to talk about Hagar this morning. I'm not going to try to keep you. I'm just going to give you what the Lord gave me. I do thank the Lord for being here this morning. Thank God for just moving in my life, working with me, teaching me some things, showing me some things. We had a death in the family. My sister lost her son. And it was so strange. You know, I was feeling a certain way, but something God had given me, but it was just something in my spirit that just wasn't sitting right. And so I said, Lord, if it's your will for me not to do this eulogy, then you intervene. So my sister, my brother-in-law called me the night before the service, and he asked the name of the church, our church. And I told him, Revival Center Fellowship. And it was kind of late, too. And he said, okay, I'm going to call you back. And I thought, well, I guess, I don't know what's going on. But he called right back and said, man, they don't want you to do the eulogy. They've got ministers in place to do that. You know, they want to do, and they pastor want to do the program and all that. I said, well, that's fine. I said, because I was, you know. And I thought, I said, Lord, you answer my prayer, you know, because I couldn't think of anything, you know, but God had already given me something. So when he called me and said that, I said, well, that's fine. It's all about you all anyway. It's not about me. It's about what, you know, what's good for you. And so hung up. My sister called right back. She was in tears. She was crying and said, I told them that you was going to do it. The day after he passed, I let them know that, you know, I wanted you to do it. And so she was just upset. So I try to, you know, comfort her. I said, well, let's just try to go on and get this behind us. So I kind of felt that I was going to have to do this eulogy. And I told my wife, I said, come here, let me talk to you. And I told her about it. She's like, what? But the Spirit of the Lord just kept saying, just get ready. Just prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. And so we talked in Thailand, prophesied and confirmed. He said, Dad, you're going to do the, you said you're going to preach tomorrow. And so I just stayed up and I prepared myself. So the next day we got up. Wife wasn't feeling good. Said, well, we don't have to make the wake. You know, I'm not preaching, so we can just march in with everybody else. And so I get a phone call. Where you at? I'm like, well, I'm just about ready to leave in a minute. I said, how come you're not here? I said, well, y'all know. I said, you know I'm not doing a eulogy, so. I said, well, yeah, they asking, where's the minister? Where's the minister? And I'm thinking, well, I'm on my way. Well, how long is it going to take you? I said, I ain't even crossed the bridge yet. So we had to go down to the city. So we get down there, and the service was going on. And so I got in. I sat over to the side, and the pastor said, well, where's Mr. Alfred D's at? Raised my hand. He said, come on up here, brother. So I came and sat down, and service is going on. He came over to me, and he said, well, what's the name of your church? And I told him again. Well, where is it located? I said, 2494 Hopewell Road, Winsfield, Missouri 6. Did what Brother Richardson did. Did that, and he said, oh, okay. Then he went back up to the pulpit, said something. He came back over to me. He said, well, see, I was just under impression that you all was doing this. I said, I don't have to, you know, do it. I said, I was doing it because my sister, my brother wanted me to do it. He said, no, that's not the case. They never did get back with us. And I just wanted to talk to the minister. I said, well, I understand where you're coming from. You just don't want to let anybody in your pulpit. I said, I respect the rules of this house. You're the pastor. I respect. I humbly submit to your rules. Whatever you say, that's what is going to have to go on. I said, yeah, there's no rebuttal here, pastor. He said, yeah, so I said, okay, here's what we believe, because that was coming next. I said, first of all, my pastor, Celeste Davis, she's a female. You got no problem with that? He said, no. I said, we believe in Jesus. We teach Jesus. We live Jesus. We speak Jesus. We believe in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We believe in one baptism, one Lord, one God. We believe in speaking in tongues, prophesying. I just let him have it. And he's like, brother, that's good enough for me. So I'm thinking, wow. So I was going over what I had prepared. And he said, well, how much time you need? I'm thinking, I can't say. You know, I don't know what God going to do. That's what I'm thinking to myself. And he said, well, I understand. You know, you don't know what God going to do. You don't know what the Holy Ghost. I said, yeah. I said, well, pastor, I told you I'm submitting to your rules. You know, however you want. I said, how much time you want me to take? 10 minutes. I'm thinking. Yes, sir. He said, can you do it in 2 minutes? I'm thinking. Well, I can get up there and just say something for 10 minutes. I said, I don't know about doing a eulogy in 10 minutes. And he wanted me to pass the mic to another brother. But anyway, God worked that thing out and God blessed anyhow. And so it was just so strange. And I'm like, Lord, I'm going to have to deal with a lot of this. He said, get yourself ready. Babies. Yep. Yep, that was baby. He's a middle child, yep, male.
Yeah, he's a middle child.
No, probably not. Yeah. So, yes, and they all, the family's doing good. I talked to her again yesterday. She said, Freddie, I'm fine, you know. And so I just thank God for working things out, and they were just so pleased, you know, that it worked out that way. And I just thank the Lord for just moving in such a great way. But it was almost like I was being tested that day. And I'm like, you know, Lord, whatever. Because I had peace from the time I got up, peace from the time we was riding down there, because I rode with two of my sons. So I got peace about this thing, Lord. Whatever, you know, you want to do, then, Lord, you do it. And God worked the thing out and then got through it and had a whole lot of good, you know, feedback. People asking where the church was. I mean, the preacher. Where is your church? You know, and they had a good response. So we're going to talk about mothers this morning, and we thank God for all our mothers, you know, mothers in church. We thank God for the mothers that are not even in church, that are doing the best that they know how to do, you know, because a lot of them don't have that upbringing that some of us had, you know. So we know how we're supposed to be mothers and fathers because we had that teaching, even though many don't adhere to what they was taught anyway. Had good examples, but they still don't adhere to what was taught to them. So get your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 16. I could have taught this, you know, as a little class. Because sometimes, don't you, when you're out there when somebody's preaching, don't you have questions and that rises up? Say, man, I sure like to ask a question. And by the time service is over, you forgot that question, what you wanted to ask. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. First of all, God, we give you praise, we give you glory and all the honor for what you're doing for our mother of this church, Pastor. We thank you for keeping her, Lord. We thank you for strengthening her, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for giving her wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the things, oh God, that she's going through, Father. We just bless your name for her, God, and we just continue, God, to ask you, God, to continue to uplift her, Lord, strengthen her, God, leading, God, by your spirit, Lord. And we just thank you for this word this morning, God. We thank you for those that came out and all those that wanted to come out, Lord. We ask, God, that you just move how you want to move, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank God for my wife, who's a wonderful, great mother. I couldn't ask for nothing better. You know, so I just thank God for my mother and told Brittany this morning, I just couldn't wait to see her. And I came and I was the first one. Happy Mother's Day, Brittany. And it is a happy Mother's Day, because think about what she was enduring to get to this point. You know, I wonder if she sometimes even wondered, man, am I going to be a mama? Some people have that thought. Am I going to even make it? You know, some of them wait real late. Well, I'm going to get started. Is it too late? It ain't never too late when you believe God. It's a matter of what you want. You know, according to your faith, be it unto you. So I'm going to start the first verse of Genesis 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my handmaid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar and made her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. She done messed up, didn't she? But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of the water in the wilderness, by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said to Hagar, Sarai, thy maid, and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither shalt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord had heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hands will be against every man, and every man's hands against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of his brother. And she called the name of the Lord, that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Bella Haraya. I guess I got that right. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram the son, and Abram called his name, he called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old. He was 86 years old. Here it is, Hagar. This is a woman that I labeled. I found out she endured. She, a woman who endures. Hagar endured. She had no say-so about what decisions was made for her. It was the benefit, not for her, it was the benefit for somebody else. You know, and not for her purpose, it was for Sarah's and Abraham's purpose. So this woman, even though she had her status changed from handmaid to wife, she still was second. She wasn't first. She wasn't calling no shots. And so out of all of that, she had to endure. And after she got pregnant, she runs off because Sarah was dealing with her, messing around with her, making her mad, treating her bad, mistreating her. You know, so she said she ain't finna put up with this. How many know that, you know, when you get tired, you just get tired and you say, I ain't got to put up with this stuff. And so she said, I ain't finna put up with this. So she left. And God, after she runs off, you know, and God told her to, he found and say, where are you going? Where you come from? I guess she was going back to Egypt, going back to her people. You know, and sometimes, you know, when mom and daddy, husband and wife get into it, I'm going back home. God, get whoever it is that's leaving. Where you going? I remember me and Tawana was living out there off of Balanza Lane. And we used to have our spats and like, man, I'm finna go home. I would go home and sit at the table. My mama and daddy they would talk to me and mama knew I was there. And after our conversation, she said, okay, well, you go on back home. You can't come back here. In other words, you go back home. That's what God told Hagar. You know, where are you going? He said, I got to get away from this woman. She's mistreating me. You know, after all that oppression, abuse, you know, being talked to roughly and bullied and knocked around and misused, you know, she said, look, nope, I'm not going. She could have said, I ain't going back. Lord, over my dead body, I ain't going back, Lord. And so this woman endured some hard stuff, but she obeyed and went back after all that she'd gone through. And how many know that mamas go through so much for their children today? They put themselves on a back burner. They go through stuff they shouldn't have to endure, but they do it for the love of somebody else. If it ain't the love of the children, it's the love of that husband. Mothers are one of a kind. And so we read over in Genesis 21. Let's go there right quick. 21 verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman should not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said to Abraham, let it be not grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her, hearken unto her voice. For Isaac shall be, hark, for Isaac shall thy seed be called. I'm sorry. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on his shoulder and putting on her shoulder and the child and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs, and she went and set her down over against a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for the Lord had heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad to drink. Here it is. Okay, after she got pregnant, Sarah got mad, started mistreating. She said, I'm finna leave. I'm finna get out of here. God told her, nope, go back and submit yourself. What you mean, God, submit myself on all of that? I ain't got to do that. I got the child, you know, I'm done. And so here it is. Later, her and her son was put out by the father with just a little bit of water, had a little bit of bread. You know, you know, well, we don't know how that is. Thank God. You know, people putting you out with just a little bit. No alimony. She didn't get half the cattle. She didn't get half the sheep. She didn't even get half. She was like put out. So all she got was a bottle of water and some bread. Tell me that ain't enduring. But after being put out, things got rough. Her and her son. You know, things get rough out there for these mothers. But they still have something down inside of them to endure, to go on. You know, the water was spent. The bread left them. They had no shelter. They had nothing to sleep. They didn't even have a cardboard box. They had nothing, nobody to talk to. Some mothers are going through some hard things today, but they yet are enduring the hardness. They still believe in God. Those mothers in the church that are still believing God, even though that are separated from the man, they ain't got what they used to have. You know, some used to have beautiful homes and beautiful cars. They had shelter. They had enough money. They had enough bread. They had enough of everything. But when things get hard, you got to know how to endure. And so they're doing what they have to do. Some mothers are doing what they need to do. You know, and thank God, and even some of us say we're doing what we need to do and doing what we have to do as, you know, as mothers. And so you got to hang on in there. This woman was hanging on in there, you know, even though she was in so much pain, so much shame, she was embarrassed, she was suffering some stuff, but Hagar endured and kept on believing God. Even though she's out there in the desert, not knowing where her next meal gonna come from, not knowing, you know, am we gonna find some water. She set the baby up under a bush and said, I just can't watch him to die. You know, I sit him over there. You know, some things you just can't look at. You don't want to see. You know, I see a lot of guys, they looking at all of this stuff on YouTube, how people are just getting slaughtered, and it just don't bother them. You know, they YouTube, and when the guys over in the Middle East was cutting off people's heads, and I'm like, man, how do you watch stuff like that and go on? You know, or it's just, you know, just a video, but that's real. That's somebody's head getting cut off, and you can sit there and watch that. You know, certain things I just can't look at. You know, maybe I'm a coward. You know, but she said, I can't watch him go through. You know, but this woman endured. Some women just, they can't endure. She wasn't ready to commit suicide. She wasn't thinking about robbing or stealing nobody. She wasn't even thinking about killing her baby. You know, when times get tough, all kind of stuff run through your mind. All kind of stuff are running through people's minds out there. They're aborting their children. Some of them are killing the children. But thanks be unto God that we got mothers going to nourish and hold to them children regardless what they have and what they don't have. We're going to go through together. And so this mother, she didn't give up. She didn't have the Red Cross. She didn't have Salvation Army. She didn't have the Little Sister of the Poor. She didn't have no lifeline at all. And today we got all of that stuff. And mothers are still getting rid of the children. Mothers are still thinking about themselves. I know, not know, but I've heard of a mother that is closely knitted into our family. Said she's got a little bitty baby. Said she don't even want it. That baby's slowing her down. Baby she just had, she don't want it. She said she's going to give it away so she can go and be with this man somewhere in a whole nother country. So this woman could have gave up that baby. She could say, hey, listen, y'all take this baby. I'm out of here. But this mother held fast to her child. You know, she's enduring. She had patience, you know, not knowing what's going to happen. Sometimes you just got to just hang on in there because we know something is going to happen. We know God is going to move for us. We know God is going to do something. He's going to show up. He's going to send somebody. That's what he did. He sent an angel to this woman. God ain't going to leave you out there and die. But she said, I'm just going to wait until my change come, you know, because she had remember, I'm sure she remember what God had spoken to her and told her that, look, you got a son inside of you. And don't worry about it. I'm going to make a great nation out of him, too. I'm going to bless him. So that was something that she had to hold on to. God give us, always give us a word to hold on to. God always, he done spoke a word over this house here in this church. I was down here this morning just praying. Said, Lord, you done spoke so many words over this church many years ago, but it's up to us to hold fast to that word. It's up to us to remember those words. Even though I say, Lord, we can't remember everything that you done said. But if we hold on and endure like this woman was doing, some mothers, a lot of mothers are enduring. If we just show God that we're going to hold on in spite of, Lord, you may and you may not come through, then God going to bring that stuff right back to your remembrance. He said the Holy Ghost going to bring it all back to your remembrance, what he done said, what's going to be done. So God has spoken a word over this church. He said some things going to happen to this church. So I started bringing it back to him this morning. Lord, you said this. You said this house is going to be a house of fire. You said that we're going to pray so much that the roof going to come up. You said we're going to pray so much that this very foundation is going to shake. It's so many different words that God has spoken into your life to where we just got to believe and have faith in God in spite of what's going on. In spite of our situation, and there's so many women that I have spoken to that are doing so much better than the man that they left or he left them. You got men out here, young men, talking about what they can't do. Well, I can't work, raise the child, and do this and do that. I say, man, look. You got women out there that's going to school, working, and raising their children all by themselves. So what's your excuse? You got women that are really enduring. Some men just don't want to have nothing to do. They don't want their responsibility. They don't want to have nothing to do with the children, with the responsibility. It's a responsibility to have a child. It takes a special person. And we know nine on. You know, because sometimes our nerves get a little short. I know mine do. It get a little short. Like, man, boy, look, if you don't go and sit down, shoot. But this woman believed God. And so many women out there that's not giving up, they're enduring to the very end. So in other words, we just got to have faith. We got to have faith in God. Faith in God's word because God has spoken a word to us. Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You got to be first justified. And the only way we can be justified with God is faith, having faith in him. He didn't ask you, well, if this hard test, this hard trial hits you, you know, go and, you know, go somewhere else, go do something else. He still wants you to have faith in me. He said, still have faith in me. So you're justified by the faith that you have in God. And then only when you have this faith in God, he said, you have peace with God. You got to have peace with God. Now the just shall live by faith, he said. But if any man draw back from what? If any man draw back from that faith, he said, my soul will have no pleasure in you. So regardless what this woman was going through, she endured. So regardless what you're going through, mothers, endure. We still got to be justified by that faith. And he said, if we draw back, draw back from believing God, draw back from the faith in God, draw back from his word. He said, my soul ain't going to have no pleasure in you. And verse 2 of Romans 5 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. And faith brings you access to what you need. So without faith, you have no access to your provision. Without faith, you have no access to that peace. And that's why so many people don't have the peace of God, because they don't have the faith in God. People always saying, I believe God. But when you look at their life, you step off a little bit and start looking, they don't have no faith in God. They running, they don't know what to do. They run into this person and run into that person. Instead of being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in his work, which is believing and having faith in him, then you have that access, he says. Access by faith, which is grace, into this grace with wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory in God. And Paul said, look, here's where a whole lot of mamas are at right now. And you can tell who those mamas are. And I talked to a few of them, and a few of them are in my family. And the grandkids, the kids are just cutting up. Don't know what to, they don't, you know, the kids don't know what they want to do. You got some used to be Christian, now they say they're Muslims. I said something to this young man not long ago about Jesus. And I kept talking to him about the Lord. And he looked at me and said, you know I'm Muslim, don't you? I'm thinking to myself, how could I know? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what does that mean? And you still living like the devil. You know, you out here doing this and doing that. You know, so what, you Muslim? What do that mean? You know? And so he says, here's where a lot of mothers are. He said, but we glory in our tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, which is endure. So if we haven't gone through nothing, then you don't know nothing about no experience. You can't tell nobody nothing. But these people, he said, in their tribulation, they glory. If you're glorying in your tribulations, then you're going to stop murmuring. Then you're going to stop complaining. So first we got the glory in the tribulation, in the tests and the trials. We don't know what's going to become of our children. No, we don't know. But you know what? If the Lord says it, he said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. So we got to think the same way with our children. We got to think peace. That this life is going to turn around somehow. This child of mine ain't going to go down the same path as the other ones. You know, so you got the glory. And while you in the tribulation, you got to be praising God. You got to be lifting him up. You got to be singing and worshiping God. That's glorying in your tests and your trials. You don't let what you see and what you hear bring you to your knees and have you shaking and not knowing what to say when you're on your knees. You get down in glory. You know, glory in your tribulations. Brother Al, I know that's kind of hard to do. Did you glory in your tribulations? Not all of them at first. But I learned to glory in my tribulations. Because what is all of this worrying, talking to this person, talking to that person about the situation? It's not going to change a thing. Only God can change it. When you start talking to the right one, you start talking to the Lord, things will start changing. I got a nephew that's in the same situation. The grandma, the mama, well, not the mama, the daddy, they all are glorying in their tribulation. They're glorying in what this boy is going through. They still believe in God. And now I got another young man that's talking to him. Said some things to him that brought tears to his eyes and he said, man, you know I am tripping. This other young man told him, said, man, don't you know that there's a lot of people would love to be in your place? He said, your grandma got you this, got you that, got a roof over your head, helped you get a car. Your daddy helping you do this, helping you do this. There's a lot of young people love to be in your place. And say, you out here doing this, that, and the other. So the young man had to get to the young man. Why? Mom and daddy glorying, God is working on his end. When you start glorying over here, God is going to be working over there. And you start worrying and complaining and murmuring, God is going to do what? He said he's going to draw back because you done lost the faith in him. It ain't always got to come through you. It's going to come from God through somebody else too. So he said, glory in your tribulations, knowing that your tribulation is going to work something else out in you. that we need. Patience. And boy, do we need patience. We want it right now. I want it now, that little girl said on Willy the Wonka. I want it now, daddy. Give it to me now. And if we can't get it right now, then we go and try to get it another kind of way. And God said, go ahead and see if it's going to happen. It ain't going to work. You got to have patience. You got to wait. If you told your child, wait a minute, hold up, wait, I'm going to do it. Just wait. And you expect for that child to do what you say do, right? God telling you the same thing. You his child, wait, hold up. I'm going to do this thing. What we're talking about this morning, God going to do this thing. There's a vision, there's dreams, and I brought that back to him this morning. Lord, you said it. Whatever Shelly dreamed, Lord, bring it to pass. Whatever Gwen saw, Lord, bring it to pass. But when God started bringing all that to pass, all we're talking about is salvation is going to come to pass out of that dream. Yes, let him start crying in the midst of his stuff. Yes, let him start thinking about what he's going through on that, in that sick bed. Bring that stuff to pass, Lord, and then bring him to you. So glory in our tribulations, it worketh some patience. And some people don't have patience, but we know that the patience is going to bring forth something else. After you, in glory in your tribulation, it worketh patience, and patience experience. After all of that you done gone through, I was telling my nephew, you know, it's a little easy for me to tell about certain things because I've experienced some things in my life. You know, if you ain't experienced nothing, then, hey, you know what? You ain't going to know how to glory. You ain't going to have no patience. So, therefore, you're going to keep on going through until you learn how to glory in your tribulation, how you have patience and patient work of the experience. You'll be able to tell somebody then how to go through what they're going through. You know, and that's what God is raising us up. And we want everybody else to do it. God said, no, because if anybody else do it, then I won't get the glory. If it come through you, if it come through the mama that's going through, if it come through the saints that's going through, then God going to get the glory because they going to lift up God. They going to lift up their holy hands to God. They going to say, no, young lady said, you did an excellent job and such, such, and such, such. I just let her talk. I said, you know what? I give God the glory, so pat him on the back. He needs to be patted on the back. He gave it to me. I just didn't have it. So it all belongs. Well, you know what I mean. See, yeah, I do know what you mean. I said, but you kind of understand what I mean too. It was still all God. It's always all God. So you got to have some patience, and that patience is going to teach you some things. You're going to have some experience. So when the next trial come up, that next thing that hit that mother, she really going to know how to stand in, because you know what? Lord brought me out of that. The Lord did this for me, you know? And so therefore, I can stand here. She stood there and have, at the end, hope. Then you can have hope. You can have that trust in God. So after all Hagar done went through, she said, oh, no. And all of this stuff, I'm still going to trust God. He done spoke a word to me. How many going to believe God, even though that this stuff don't even look like it's going to go the way that we think it should go? It don't even sound like it sometimes. When you talk to different people, you know, you get all these different versions. So you got to revert back to what you know. Lord, you said. You said. So that's the only way. She said, nay, in all these things, Paul wrote in the Romans. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But some folk have gone through and yet still don't learn anything. And all of this stuff that we go through, we just keep repeating. Keep repeating the same old cycle, same old thing, going over and over and over. Well, the guy came to me and said, well, you know what, man, this stuff got to stop. I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, this just got to stop. I said, yeah, you're right. I kind of understood what you're talking about. I said, but it ain't going to change until you change. It ain't going to change until I change. You're going to have the same old thing going over and over. These young men ain't going to change unless they see you change. Don't be talking about you want to see something different if you ain't doing nothing different. You got to do something different. You got to change so they can change. They look at your life and they say, well, he going to church. He's still acting a plum monkey. He's still selling dope. He's still out there doing what he want to do. So you got to have some change in your life. But some folk don't have the change. You know, have you ever told somebody, I've told my children before, I said, man, you're going through all that and you ain't learned nothing yet. So therefore, you got to go through some more until you learn your lesson. But some mothers, they just endure. I know mothers that just endure it in spite of what. I know mothers when their kids, and I know the kids are acting up, and they know the kids are acting up, and they know their situation is bad. They still, I don't care, you can try to bring them down just to see if they're going to stand. And they still say, nope, I'm still believing God. I'm trusting God, Freddie. God going to do this thing. And man, tell me that ain't endurance. When you got men walking around, you saying, well, no, that ain't going to happen. And that mother still saying, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Just like Paul said, even as the Lord told me, it's going to happen. And that's the attitude that you got to have. And we thank God for the mothers that just hold on to the children. Hold on to the generation, because yes, once the mother or somebody let go, the grandmother let go, then that child might be what the world said he was going to be. He might be. So the things that we go through, the things that come up against us, we still got to endure. We still got to have that hope in God. So if mothers are seeing that their children or somebody else's child, have hope for them. Believe, endure for this generation. Because if we don't, then, well, you know what? We don't, shame on us, because God is going to raise up a people to do. I just want to be one of the people that God used in this day and hour. I do. I want to be one of the people. We got to have hope in the Lord. I'm going to read a couple of verses and I'm going to close it. John 16:32-33, I think it is, said, behold, the hour coming, yet, Jesus said, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And sometimes it feel like you all by yourself. Jesus said, yeah, y'all going to leave me. That hour, that time is going to come. It's going to be a time and a day and an hour and a season in our life where everybody's going to scatter. But he said that, but the Father is going to be with me. So therefore, when that time and that season come in your life, know that you are not alone. Jesus said, I will always be with you, even to the end of the world. And he said in verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, you should have tribulation. And he just letting us know, you're going to have some tribulation. This woman had some tribulation. She had trials. She had things that she's gone through that we can't even understand. Like I said, you know, we go through some stuff in our season, but we got stuff in place for us. We got sinners, and we got Red Cross and salvation. We got places where we can go. But this woman had nowhere to go but to go and hide up under a bush. But God was with her. We gonna have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Jesus is just saying, if he overcame the world, what you got to worry about? What you got to worry about? He said, if I overcome the world, he overcame all the tribulations. What he's saying, look at his life. You can overcome what you're going through. Mothers, we thank God for you. We thank God for giving us mamas, mothers, and grandmothers who have endured and stayed faithful to God and not give up. So we just thank God for you this morning. And there is something else that reminds me of a mother's love. There is another's love that reminds me of mother's love. Mothers couldn't get this love except it'd been shown to them. It reminds me of God's love, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Have you ever given up your only begotten of anything? Have you had to give up the only thing that you had? Your last $2? Have you ever give up the only thing that you had? This is all I got. That's what God was saying. He so loved the world. I give you all that I got. None, I got no other son. I'm going to give it to him. Then there's another love behind that. I like to call it passion, because Jesus has so much passion to where he said, you know, I love you so much. I'm just passionate after this people, Father. I'm going to lay my life down for them. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to step up to the plate. I'm just going to lay it down, because we should have died that death that he died. But he has so much passion for us to where he said, I'm going to lay it down. If you haven't laid your life down for something, one day you will have to. You're going to be so passionate about something in your life to where you're going to say, well, I got to give it up. You don't have to give up your only begotten something one day. God is looking for that same love out of us. And I thank God. I see it in the mothers out here in the world and in the church. So this passion that Jesus had, he gave himself for the cause of others. That's what mothers do. Man, my mama would go without stuff just so we can get it. You know, yes, we knew she needed this, she needed that, she wanted. But now, Walter, the kids need this, the kids need that. Same way with God. No, Father, they need this, they need that. What a love. You know, man, I wish I had my mother here with me. You are blessed if you still got your mama. But you know what? When my mama left, he gave me a mama just like my mama. I'm telling you. When Pastor Boy and I came into my life, she started talking like my mama, believing like my mama. Like, boy, I went home and told her, I said, boy, I met this lady, man. Boy, she just like mama. And she just believe all that crazy stuff. You know, she just don't be talking to, man. Man, she's serious about it. You know, won't God do it? Look, God will supply your needs. And so you just can't be a mother to just your children. You got to be a mother out there to the children that don't have a mother. They want somebody, too, to snuggle up under. They want somebody, too, that they can run and confide in and find the truth and true love, and not somebody that's going to, you know, take advantage of them. They looking for real mothers. God got real mothers down. I thank God for the mothers. I'm finished, y'all. Put your hands together and give God some great big praise for the mother's love. And only way the mother could get that love is him showing it to the mother. So I thank God for you mothers this morning. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you. And hang in there. Remember this woman, Hagar, what she had to endure. She endured until God came on the scene. God spoke some words over your life. Don't forget it. He spoke some words over your children before you had the children. Don't forget it. He spoke a word to one of my sons. He found out that word, and that's all he uses, that word. God said, I'm going to be successful. And he just keeps on. Keep looking for a job. Say, that's right, man. You're going to be successful. And you remember that. But you can't be successful without Christ in your life. You know? So I just thank the Lord this morning. I thank God this morning. We need to pray for anything. Pastor says she's going to be back over here on Wednesday mornings to open up the church. She says, since Dad can sit in the church, she said, I'm trying to get over there, Brother Al. Get back with it. I got to get back to church. I said, you will, Pastor. I know she will. She will. She'll get on back. So God bless you this morning. Let us stand and dismiss. Nobody need no prayer. I do appreciate and thank you all for coming out. I do appreciate it. But you know what? We got to get a hold of them other folk. We got to pray and get a hold of them other folk. Let them know. You know, we got to get back to Bethel. If we don't, I don't know what's going to happen. And so, hold fast. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in God's work. Heavenly Father, God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for your word this morning. We thank you for showing such great love and compassion for your people, Lord, that it trickled on down, Lord, to the mothers, oh God, and to the fathers, Lord. We thank and praise you for being such an example, Lord. And we pray, Father God, that this love, oh God, that you talk about, Lord, that will be infested in our spirits and in our heart, God, that we can go out and show the love, God, to the world, Lord, and that you be lifted up in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, as we leave this place, God, but never from your presence. Bring us back to point in time in Jesus' name. Amen.